Congressman Joe Courtney, one of my favorite people to talk to from the Connecticut 2nd District, in office since 2007. Is that a long time in Congress, 7 to 16?
It's getting up there. I mean, I'm actually past the halfway mark in terms of seniority, which is, you know, I almost have to pinch myself. The hill gets steeper after you sort of get to my
point
where, you know, people, once they get past that point, you either, you know, head off and head for the exits or you really, you know, keep your eye on chairmanships and all that stuff. So,
yeah, you got to worry about that stuff because, you know, if you're from one of the southern states,
right,
you know, I think your seniority chances are much greater than if you're from a competitive district.
No, those guys, they figured it out.
They figured it out. They don't. Yeah, it's not exactly democracy, if you know what I mean.
Right.
So let me ask you, what's going on over there in your beautiful district? It is a wonderful place to live, isn't it?
It is. I mean, we've got obviously the shoreline, which is pretty special, and
yep.
And then the quiet corner, as they call it, up in the northeast section of the state. A lot of agriculture and, you know, really interesting historical communities. But I mean, we've actually had a pretty sad development, which frankly is all across the country, which is the heroin opioid, you know, spike in deaths and overdoses has hit Connecticut and eastern Connecticut pretty hard. The Office of Chief Medical Examiner came out with their 2015 numbers last week. It's sickening. 27% increase in intoxication deaths, which includes heroin, morphine, you know, painkillers, and so 723 people lost their lives to that in 2015 as opposed to 568 the year before. Heroin, again, tracks exactly the same sort of percentage increase. In New London, you know, which is kind of the center of gravity in my district, they had 28 overdoses at the hospital emergency room and lost three lives. And it's, as I said, it's just, you don't think of Connecticut as a state that, you know, would see that kind of event. But, I mean, as you know, Alan, it's happening all over the place, rural areas as well as urban.
So what can you do about it? I mean, what can the feds do about it? You're sitting here in Congress. Obviously, it's both a local problem and it's, as you just suggested, a national problem. So what's to be done?
So we had the National Drug Policy Director from the White House come to New London last week, Michael Botticelli, who, by the way, if you want to have an interesting interview, I highly recommend it. You know, he comes from a long history of working around this issue in Massachusetts, where he had sort of a similar position at the state level. He himself, and he's very open about this, is a recovering addict himself. He's 26 years recovering. And so, you know, there is efforts going on right now, both certainly within the Department of Health and Human Services, but also in Congress. There's a bill in the U.S. Senate called the Comprehensive Addiction and Recovery Act, CARA, which actually got marked up and reported out on a bipartisan basis in the Senate Judiciary Committee, which you know, talks about the fact that, you know, that we know now the pathway to addiction in terms of heroin, in many instances, starts with overprescribing of pain medications, that you know, creates a dependence on opioids that at some point becomes a lot more affordable and accessible on the street when you're talking $5 a hit, which is, you know, what's happening out there. It's kind of incredible, you know, when you see how cheap this stuff is. And so the bill, you know, basically is talking about setting up sort of national protocols for dispensing painkillers. It's all hands on deck in terms of Health and Human Services, the VA, FDA, a lot of input from docs and provider groups. Very tough issue. You know, I'm sure some of the people listening to your show are, you know, folks who've struggled with pain conditions or have family members. And, you know, it's a balancing act. But clearly, you know, the stories that we heard, and we had 2 days of summit meetings in New London last week with Director Botticelli, but also the local stakeholders, is you hear, you know, a lot of these same scenarios where, you know, athletic injury, car accident, you know, some event, you know, even not just physical but psychological, where someone has too many prescribed pills and ends up getting hooked. And so, I mean, that end of the system really needs to be, I think, recognized as an issue that has to be addressed if you're really going to try and, from a preventive standpoint, bring down these numbers. I mean, there's a treatment end of this thing, which is also, a big problem. The federal government, I think, can help with this. The Narcan, miracle drug that brings people literally back to life in emergency rooms, and sometimes, even in EMT situations, is something that is becoming more available. But the fact is that, when you look at the numbers, I mean, I think you can sort of analogize to a disaster scenario with a storm or, Hurricane Sandy or Irene, where, local police departments, EMTs, they need resources in terms of being able to have the tools to address this, not just the Narcan itself, but also the training, to administer it properly. And so as a result, the president in his budget for 2017 came out with $1.1 billion of, again, a variety of resources out into the community for law enforcement providers. Treatment beds is a huge issue. I mean, the ER doc in New London was describing, literally bringing people back to life with Narcan, but then not being able to get them into detox facilities. And certainly the detox facilities then have struggles in terms of getting people into the sort of long-term follow-up care and treatment. It's a 2 to 3 month wait, which, as you know, when you're talking about an addiction that's people in crisis, that's, it just doesn't work. And but the president's request is 2017. Senator Shaheen from New Hampshire, which is also struggling with this issue, introduced a bill to again, sort of use the disaster scenario analogy to have an emergency supplemental bill of $600 million to get resources out to the states. That's been, a battle in terms of this law, this bill that I was telling you, in terms of whether or not an amendment will be allowed to do that. I have introduced a companion bill in the House, and we've got good, solid co-sponsorship in record time. Because, as I said, this is an issue that touches member districts in rural Wisconsin, the West Coast. HBO did a documentary on Cape Cod on this, which is, almost it's tough to watch. But, I mean, we're talking about communities that have never seen anything like this before, families that have never seen anything like this before. And and I think it deserves a response just like, a public health emergency like Ebola or Zika, which we're hopefully going to get some action and movement on. And to that end, we got 60 members in the House to sign a letter to the president. He has authority to declare a public health emergency and kind of concentrate resources at the Department of Health and Human Services for some of these issues that I described. The response has been good. Botticelli, when he came to New London, his office is getting bombarded, as you can imagine, with communities similar to mine that are struggling with this issue. And it cuts across all regions. So it is a national problem, and we're hoping, we can get that kind of national response.
Now, Joe Courtney, when we come back the next time,
yep.
I want to talk to you about politics, because everybody wants to know about politics.
Sure.
So I'll ask you, the toughies, okay?
I'm ready.